Attention, mall shoppers. The mall will be closing in 10 minutes. Please head to the nearest exit. All non-personnel in the mall after the doors have been locked will be killed.
Sci-Fi Melody, Symptom 130, Chopping Mall. What more do I need to say?
What more do you need to say about a title like Chopping Mall? The name alone makes you say, wow, that what is that about? And if the name alone doesn't do it, well, the box art certainly will. Sickies, if you, as we wrap up another wonderful horror month.
Horror month.
We thought we would do a more campy horror film, but sci-fi nonetheless, with the film Chopping Mall. And right now, sickies, if you are not driving, go and Google Chopping Mall and look at the box art. Because this is one of the coolest box arts I've ever seen in my life. There's a robotic hand holding a bag full of body parts, and it says where shopping can cost you an arm and a leg. I mean, this is amazing. I don't know about you guys, but between the name and the box art, I would have that was enough to make me want to watch it.
Well, the box art definitely is a very catching image. It's like, ooh. If you're looking for a horror film, it's going to get you in very interested in seeing this.
I mean, it follows the formula for if you're a heavy metal fan and you're looking for new bands, there's basically a formula when you buy a new album, or even if you're not buying the album, if you're just perusing the covers. Basically, if the genre fits something you like, if they have a cool album cover and a cool name, that's the trifecta of, I think I need to listen to this band. And so it is with this film. They got great box art, cool name, and a catchy slogan. And more to the point, it also is an 80s slasher film. So that just makes you think, well, now I guess I have to watch this. So let's just dive right in and get into the story of it because, well, I don't know. The plot seems really easy. Basically, you have a security company that it starts off showing a jewelry store robber. He takes some jewelry and a robot comes after him. Robot security that knocks him out. And then it turns out to be a demonstration from a company that was selling a shopping mall, a series of security robots for after hours patrols. Not only that, but during after hours, these doors, metal doors would lock and secure so you couldn't get out. Now, if you happen to be working there, you were given these little barcode IDs so that if the robots scanned your ID, you wouldn't be in trouble. But the kind of weapons these robots have are
a little overkill.
There's tasers, sleeping darts, lasers that can cut through metal.
Sometimes.
Unless it's a door lasers, that the characters are hiding behind with character shields activated.
Lasers that work when we need them to work.
Also, their accuracy seems to be from the stormtroopers, but hey.
Oh, no. Stormtroopers are better. I was just funny you said that. I was thinking that. I was like, wow, these guys have the accuracy of stormtroopers.
Oh.
And they're on treads, but and I can't figure this one out. You would think that treads means, well, unless they got in an elevator, they can't go to the next floor. No, they can somehow go up an escalator.
Because
the stairs are somehow big enough for the, you know what? It just works. That's how you have to go for it. It just works.
This entire movie is just because it works.
It works.
It's got the same logic as how are they sprinting through the woods and all you ever see Jason do is walk. But he's ahead of you after 5 minutes of running.
Well, you know, that's funny. In the video game,
he's like Ando. He's got Ando powers.
Well, if you went to Parma Senior High School in the 80s, 90s, and I don't know, maybe even the 70s, you understand that reference.
I'm going to tell you, man, Ando was a crazy hall monitor, and everyone had a story of
Ando
you would be
teleporting.
Yes. Basically, Ando somehow had secret tunnels because you could be walking out of the cafeteria on your way down to the auxiliary gym. And by the time you got to the auxiliary gym, Ando was coming the other way out of it towards you. And there would have been no way for him to get there outside of a transporter beam or a tunnel.
Well, basically, he was the he had slasher villain powers. If you play the Friday the 13th video game, the recent one, that's a power Jason has that as the game progresses, the player who plays Jason can like teleport or just magically appear in places, which fits the genre. But at any rate, we're on Chopping Mall, which is still a slasher film.
Yes.
So anyway, you then meet a group of characters who work in the mall, guys and girls, and they're going to have a party where they just basically, it's a furniture store on top of it. They go into a furniture store and they're just going to have sex. And that's it.
You've never been invited to a mall furniture store sex orgy?
Apparently. But here's the thing that's funny, too. There's a man and wife that go, and I'm thinking, wait, why are you two going? Why do you need to go have sex in a bed in a furniture store? Go home.
That bed, too.
Yeah. I mean, like,
the bed has been used. No good.
Well, they mentioned replacing the sheets when they're prepping. But conceptually, the guy who's with the girl whose father works in another store. Thank you for looking up Short Circuit. We'll come to that in a minute. I can conceptually see why he's trying to get her, because the father doesn't trust the boyfriend.
Listen, that guy is a pansy. He backs down quicker and like more of a wuss than any father I've ever seen who's clearly watching some dude just almost jump his daughter in the middle of a public mall.
Hang on. I'm skipping ahead. But just conceptually, this idea makes sense for two of the couples. But for the married couple, it's like, why do you need to join them? You could just go home. You're married. Who's going to tell you you can't go home and have sex? Anyway, so
don't overthink the movie.
Exactly. So one of the guys, I'm going to call him Jaw Deddington or Jaw Jackson, because he's your typical 80s jock who chews gum with a highly exaggerated motion. It looks like his jaw is stuck. He goes to see his girlfriend in a store, and the father meets up, and you can tell the father doesn't want doesn't want them to date. And he catches the son saying, "I can't wait for later." And the dad just rolls over and says, "I have business to attend to," and walks away. Like exactly like Scott says, "Wow, Dad. Good job just rolling over and letting someone take your daughter. Good job." Right. Good job.
You know, I got business to attend to. Dude who I don't like, just please treat her with a little bit of respect. Yeah.
Please don't do anything tonight.
If you do tonight, just be respectful. Yeah. Treat her like a lady.
And then you meet another couple, the married couple, who their truck is broken down and he's trying to start it. He can't. And his wife says, "Well, my turn." And she gets it going, gets the truck started. Okay. And then they decide to go in. And then you meet another guy who is dating a girl who works at a pizza joint. And the girl who works at a pizza joint brings her friend to meet a guy. You know what? I'm just getting way too detailed with it. It's three couples and one almost couple. And before the mall closes, there's lightning strikes. And the central computer that controls the three robots turns them evil. Kind of like, when did the movie Short Circuit come out?
Well, let's see.
Since you pulled it up.
I was going to say the robots in this movie look like the evil love child of the Short Circuit robot and the robot from Rocky 3 that sings Happy Birthday.
Exactly. Yes.
If those two had a child, would be.
And not just that, though. Short Circuit, the premise was that lightning struck and Johnny Five became sentient. In this movie, 1986, and this movie came out when?
1986.
Okay, so we're not sure which came first, I mean, as far as ideas are conceptually. But nonetheless, lightning strikes and the robots turn bad.
Oh, man. March 21st, 1986, Chopping Mall. May 9th, 1986.
You know what, though? They were already
Short Circuit.
They were already in production, so we can't say that they copied off each other.
I'm guessing there was a movie that
Rocky 3, though, was out on May 28th, 1982.
Actually, the robot was Rocky 4.
Was it Rocky 4?
Rocky 4.
Okay, well,
okay.
All I'm saying is I'm guessing there was something that came out just before both of them and went, ooh, let's rip off of this, because, you know, those are very similar.
It's tropey.
But then, good grief, is it trophy.
Basically, hijinks ensue as the robots are chasing down these teenagers and killing, well, teenage adults, and killing them off one by one until it's down to the final brainy guy and the shy girl who kill them all by blowing them up. Oh, but there's a great scene where one of the actors, one of the more famous actors in this movie, Dick Miller, who is a famous mostly from the movie Gremlins, he's a janitor that gets killed. And as someone who does cleaning for one of my jobs, that mop he was using, that looked like chocolate milk. Was he trying to clean the floor with chocolate milk?
Yeah, like, why are you... I mean, that is a muddy, yeah, terrible mop. Like, what was the point of that?
Go replace your mop water, dude.
I think that's also how they kept the budget low, was using your big-name actor for, like, 5 minutes. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? I happened to meet the guys that made this movie, and they were showing a different movie, but they mentioned Chopping Mall, how they had such a limited time to shoot this film at night. They had to come in late at night, and they only had a small window, so it was kind of funny. And one day they left a bloody mess somewhere and forgot to clean it up. And the mall people came in, and it caused quite a problem.
Oh, I bet. I mean, let's be honest. This is definitely a bloody mess of a film, because there's blood everywhere.
But it's just fun watching them go around. The three guys, they run into a sporting goods store and get a bunch of guns, and they blow up propane tanks to blow up the robots. And
like, it's not how propane tank works or how a gun shop works, but
it's not also how a laser works. There's a great scene where one girl tells her boyfriend, go get a pack of smokes, and she's running around. She goes outside in the mall hallway wearing her underwear
and a shirt.
And it chases her and shoots her in the butt with a laser.
And somehow,
which does nothing.
Which that laser just barely like zaps her in the...
Yeah. But the next laser blows her head off.
Gotta love that aim that the robots can't seem to hit anything unless it's the girl's butt, which he repeatedly gets hit and then manages not to have any intensity until he hits the head and blows the head completely into bits.
But you know what's funny too about that scene? Or the whole thing about the laser is that it sounds... They borrow so many cool references. They borrow the laser sound effects from War of the Worlds, the movie. And then... Not the original. And then there's all these movie posters for, like, Galaxy of Terror and all these other Roger Corman movies. Because Roger Corman was a producer of this movie. So, a little bit of self-promotion, I guess.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, I mean, yeah. This film has... let's be honest, it's tropey in so many ways. It's that 80s, you know, teen...
Oh my gosh.
Sex orgy. I mean, really?
And the music, though. The synth music. Scott, you actually texted me how much you loved the intro with the synth and the mall and everything.
It is peak 80s. I'm watching this for 5 minutes, and you just can't... Anything that you can see for an 80s movie... It's just takes you right back to the 80s more than Ready Player One.
Stranger Things wishes they did it so well.
Yeah, that, I mean, look, it's bad synthesizer music, but that synthesizer music was everywhere in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't forget. Yeah, and then you also have the font choices for the, oh, man,
Yeah.
We've all been in that mall, too. Every mall in America in the 1980s.
Just about, yeah. If you were alive, you'll remember.
Except I don't remember my mall having a gun shop, a automobile part shop, a paint shop.
That's true.
No, you need all those things to make the contrived plot work.
Yeah.
But that's true. That's true. So,
just saying, I missed that mall.
So let's just, you know, since that's basically the premise of the movie. So let's get into some of our rips and picks here, because... There are some bad things. Okay, most of the movie's bad.
This thing is about as functional as the Ed 209.
Yeah, but it's fun.
It is a robot that basically is like R2-D2 with treads.
Yeah.
Short little arms. And it can be defeated by going upstairs, going downstairs, going down a narrow space.
Actually, but it never is.
Its eyes shot out.
Well, the girl at the end figures it out. She keeps changing levels faster than it can change levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can hide from it. She successfully hid from it by hiding behind some bags of dog food.
And a fake spider.
Still.
But when she puts paint on the ground and it slips. What was that scene where they get it? They get it electrocuted. What do they do? And it's spinning around with electricity. What did they do to it?
Oh, didn't he run it over like a golf cart at the end?
After the husband, after it killed his wife. Yeah, he
crashed into it.
He got into a golf cart and drove into it
at very low speed.
But he drove like 5 feet away.
But here's the other thing. You can defeat this thing by tipping it over.
Yeah.
But it'd be like a turtle.
But it picks itself up. It takes forever, mind you.
Yes. You can get away from it by tipping it over.
Yeah.
And then none of these idiots, they watch this thing murder someone. And that, you know, someone actually says, maybe we'd have a better chance of surviving if we split up.
You never split the party. I disagree. You never split the party.
Okay, in this case, you do.
Yes.
Because you have a murder bot that shoots lasers from its eyes. Let's all stand together and give it a group target to fire at. No, you know what you do? You all go find a narrow little passageway and squeeze to the back of it and don't move and hope it sees you. Know what you do? You open up the drop ceiling and crawl up into the ceiling, or you light the paint store on fire so the mall's on fire and the fire department has to show up and let you out.
By the way, I remember now how that one robot it shot itself. Remember Mirrors?
Oh, yeah. They put the mannequins up. And
the really stupid mirrors. And that stupidity.
But then it was spinning around.
Yeah.
I like how when it wants to kill someone, it takes its arms and puts them up it's putting its arms up saying, I surrender. But I guess it's supposed to be like an aggressive move.
Okay. How about we go back to the first kill of the robot?
We got to do that. So you have the guys, the computer guy, the guys that are running the mainframe. So the lightning strikes. He's trying to figure out what happens after pushing buttons.
And he's like,
opens up the manual, finds a centerfold because, you know, you have to. And he decides to open that up and ogle it for a while. And you know.
It's the 80s.
That a knife or hand or something is going to burst through that centerfold and kill him.
And of course. And what happens? Right in the middle of the boob. I mean, and you just go.
If you didn't see that coming,
Again, as we mentioned, peak 80s. This is it's like
slasher. What can I say?
Yep. And again, another peak 80s bit where you're going, other than obviously, you know, your furniture sex orgy, which makes no sense.
I'm still stuck on that.
I don't understand that one either, but you also have, every single woman in this is objectified. Even the one.
Well, no, the one isn't. The one girl that is a really good shot.
Think
her name was Allison. She isn't objectified
at all. Well, that's something I will get to in a second. By the way, if you notice, the only couple who survived was the one who did not have sex.
Yeah, the only non-couple.
Mm-hmm. The ones that did not have sex somehow survived.
That was scared about an old Roger Corman movie, by the way.
But, no, I was going to say the objectified one is the woman who fixes the car, which, great female empowerment right there, except the very next scene almost destroys it by her holding up her underwear going, I don't think I need these tonight.
Well, no, she wanted to go to the party and she was messing with him. You know what? Since you brought it up, I guess I'll jump into it. This movie, and I didn't really think about it till a day or two later. This movie actually has a female empowerment message, even though I'm sure that's not what they were intending.
Because I don't think so.
You have the wife that's better at cars than the husband, and they do an auto repair business together. You have the one girl, Allison,
who's
a better shot than everybody. Her dad was a Marine. She actually takes the gun from her future boyfriend's hand to shoot a propane tank to blow up an elevator the robot's on. They start calling her Deadeye. Then she comes out. Then the mechanic wife also decides to take initiative, grabs gas cans, and starts making Molotovs. saying, well, we have to do something. And then again, Allison, the girl, Deadeye, she's the one that comes up with a way to kill the final robot in the paint store. Really, these are good, empowering scenes. The one who kills the final robot is a girl. But it doesn't seem ham-fisted. It is just, well, then she did it.
You could argue that it's the trope of the last girl.
You could. You very well could.
And therefore, it's not, no one's going to call this a female empowerment movie. You've got the trope of the last girl who's virtuous, and that's why she survives.
No, but I think what I'm trying to say is it's not like, it's not ham-fisted.
I think
it just, it's there.
You know, we've all kind of talked about this, and I think that, lead me to another thing that I don't think is going to go over well, but okay. we'll roll with this. A lot of people in the woken community would tell you that this is not an empowerment movie and that this is not how you do female empowerment.
But
they would tell you, the woken community
that's
out there.
I can't speak for all of them. That's not fair.
No, you can't. And I can't. But a lot of the general idea behind whether it's any of the, people don't like the term identity politics, but that's what it is. Pick your cause, and a lot of what's going beyond these movements, behind in these movements, is to be loud and to smash someone in the face with your message with a 2x4, and it's your message, and your message is the one that matters, because that's how you change things. You don't change the status quo by being polite. You don't change the status quo by edging around, and you don't change the status quo by tiptoeing. You change the status quo by smashing it, destroying it, and then rebuilding it in a way that isn't the status quo. It's a proven method. It works over and over and over again. There's going to be collateral damage. People might get hurt. People might get annoyed. But if people are angry, they're thinking about what you're saying.
Well, I'm only going to say you're right in some way. I just think you also have the issue that sometimes it backfires.
Okay,
if you hit someone over the head, they might become even more resilient and push against you harder. You might make enemies rather than converting them.
That's always the counter to it. But in the end, those people who become resilient and more hard-headed eventually get forced into compliance. And you can look at it over and over and over again. Nothing really stops the wheels of progress. Progress happens, change happens. I'll give you an example. The gay rights movement in this country. Okay, the LGBTQ movement.
You forgot the rest of the alphabet.
This just turned into a we have issues, but go on.
So that has been, and sometimes that's what a sci-fi podcast is supposed to do. But there has been far more ground gained in the last 15 years for that community than there's been in the last 100. It's just about, not just about, it's mainstream now. It is mainstream now.
Yes,
it is socially accepted now. And mostly, it's much more socially accepted than it used to be. And that happened because people stopped tiptoeing around about it. And they said, we're not going to go be gay over there because it makes you uncomfortable. We're going to be out in public. And that's what they said. And the movement picked up a lot of steam because of that. It's an example. The civil rights movement. The civil rights movement in the 60s said, we're not tiptoeing around this anymore. And that's how you change the status quo. You don't change it by being polite. And it's kind of something I said on Twitter today. You've got all these people who... got to turn your phone off so you don't get incoming calls. It amazes me with everything that's going on in the world. All the actual issues going on in the world. That there are people who are completely fixated on the fact that Disney and Marvel are focusing on strong female leads and over the top throwing strong female leads in your face and making a push to diversify. Everything else that's going on in the world is taking a backseat to them. Their most important issue is how dare you have strong female leads in the Marvel Cinematic. I don't understand why it angers people. If you don't want to watch Batgirl, don't watch Batgirl. Why do you have to go on a crusade that the whole DC universe is falling apart because there's Batgirl? I don't understand. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Why do you have to sit there and shout it down as if it's this evil thing and a conspiracy against all men?
I guess I just wanted to say that I felt I liked the fact that it wasn't ham-fisted. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, Scott, my only... I hate when you do this to me and make me actually have to devil's advocate something I don't 100% agree with. But okay, here we go. I'm going
the
to
Rage have... Master does not endorse anything that is being said right now by anybody.
Fair enough.
He just wanted to say that he felt that this is a precursor empowerment and it could be argued. And
well, we're arguing.
He's backing away now.
I'm just going to say, Scott, that I think some people who find Batwoman, all this stuff, have issue with it is not so much that they don't want, you know, powerful women in films. I mean, Aliens is a great example. I mean, you have female lead in there. Not, you don't really find anyone complaining about that. What you find complaints about this is because it's throwing down a dialogue, an idea that you must follow. A lot of people are saying this is a symptom, not that they are seeing. It's they're not so much mad about the symptom. They might be mad about the cause. And they will complain about the symptom. So that's just saying, that's what it could be. That they're seeing the symptom, they don't like the cause of it, but they will complain about the symptom. It's possible. You can disagree. I'm just saying that could be it.
I suppose, I think, Scott, if I can synthesize what the two of you are trying to say, and maybe I'll fail. Scott, you are right that you need to use a sledgehammer on many occasions. However, it depends where you strike. Dr. King used a sledgehammer, but he didn't say white people were the devil. That's why Malcolm X's earlier phrases were not as nice. Now, he evolved his thinking over time and backed off that and altered it. But anybody that would try to say white devil wasn't really gonna... You can't elevate yourself by smashing down the hierarchy. You can smash down the hierarchy, but the idea is level, not destroy and replace. And I think the problem there, just in the case, and I agree with you, you don't want to watch Batwoman for these reasons, don't. But I think the reason there is angst, and I'm not going to say justify any particular behavior, but the reason there is angst is when you have the, it's elevation and destruction. This suit is only good when a woman's wearing it. I'm not going to let a man do this. And it's no different than when the original King Kong, when the character of Jack tells Fay Wray, women can't help but be a bother. It wasn't right to do that, but how is it right when the shoe's on the other foot? And I think that's what Thomas is trying to say, that yes, use your sledgehammer, but watch your target. Because there's a point where you're destroying a hierarchy to level, and there's a point where you're destroying the hierarchy to put yourself in charge. It's kind of like, I'm going to get rid of the czar so I can make myself a dictator.
I'll agree with you that absolutely. I mean, what are you trying to do once you've leveled the hierarchy? Okay. I think that I might look at it as a different way, and a lot of my view of the current world is tempered by my obsession that I've mellowed out recently with on the Civil War. But I think that when you see that you're losing and you see that you're going to lose is when you start doubling down into this far and no farther.
Well, no,
not that, one step that, in retreat.
That's
at this
right.
Point. And
that's
I think
right.
That's kind of where we're at. You've got these old guard male ideas and male perspectives that they really, I think there are certain people who truly are just threatened by the fact that if Captain Marvel succeeds and is a success and people like Captain Marvel, we'll see more female superheroes and we won't have this male-dominated safe haven area that we can go to get away from all this woken quote-unquote nonsense.
You are correct in that, but
I think comic book world was their last bastion of retreat to stay away from the intrusion of wokeness that they don't want to deal with, and when they see it getting into their last ditch, then they rear up. And now we're not even having a podcast about the movie.
Right, but I guess I would say you're right, but I'm just trying to find this middle synthesis between you two. And I think the concern of Thomas is, and I'm putting words in his mouth now so he can shoot me down after, but I think the concern of Thomas is, at what point are you that guy you just mentioned, Scott, the old man with his cane waving, or at what point are you saying, geez, yes, empower women, but why do you have to put me down to do it?
I think
that's the concern with the ham-fisted, depending.
I think it's, you know, like Captain
Marvel,
of Greek.
Captain Marvel, well, but, and you're right, but Captain Marvel did not man bash. We all agreed on that.
Yeah.
But when you just take a look at, and even Rey doesn't man bash. But you brought a Batwoman. Batwoman does. And I think that's a problem why so many people are tuned off.
Yeah, and I think it's like the cycle of change. You start out where you start bashing whoever is in power and you put down who is in power and the point of pulling yourself up. You are pulling yourself up, so you're going to every equal and opposite reaction. As you pull yourself up, you have to pull someone else down. They have to lose for you to gain. In a everybody loves everybody world, it's possible to elevate someone without pulling someone else down. But it's impossible because it's a world of finite resources. Everything is finite. I cannot bring one thing up without a trade-off somewhere else. It's a fundamental rule of the universe. Nobody likes it when you start agitating for change that you're bashing the people who have it good at the moment and you're pulling them down. And when you recognize that it's you who's being pulled down, you resent it. But eventually, once the change happens, you don't have to bash and say bad, bad, bad. And it calms down somewhat. But
so what you're saying is then,
I don't like being man-bashed, okay, so I just tune out, but it's going to happen because you got to get someone's attention.
Okay,
you know what? I'm done. I cede the floor to you again.
Okay.
I'm gone, bye.
I'm going to now have to bring up a few points. A, Soviet Union. That was tearing down the establishment and putting something up. It depends on what you're putting in its place.
Sure does.
I'm just saying, like, sure, bash it, but what are you replacing it with? That's a big question.
Are you replacing it with gender equality? Then we're fine. Are you replacing it with women in power and men inferior and flipping the roles? Well, that's, you know, not desirable.
Again,
equality is desirable.
Yes.
If you're just out for vengeance,
right,
that's not desirable.
And I'm agreeing with you there. I'm just saying, what are you replacing with? You know, let's see if it's actually good.
I think at first any movement to bring one class up to par with another class starts with bashing that class because you've got to tear that class's bulwarks of power down a bit to even it out because no one willingly gives up power. No one willingly says, I'm going to sacrifice some of mine so that you can have more. It's very rare. It really doesn't happen.
Okay, well, I'm just going, again, let's hold up on that and let's just deal with this first part. What are you trying to, you know, fight against? Are you trying to fight against something that is bad? Then I would agree with you, tear it down. Are you fighting against something that's good? Hold up. Why are you doing that? And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, at all that sometimes things aren't bad and they should be torn down. I'm not saying that. I'm saying first look at what you're trying to tear down and what you're trying to destroy. Is it bad? And then what are you trying to replace it with? That's my first question. My next I have to bring up is your issue with finite resources. Sometimes it's finite, sometimes it's not. It depends on, again, what we're talking about. If we're talking about equal, you know, like civil rights, I don't think that's a finite resource. That's just considering your fellow man as an equal. How is that? That's not a finite resource. That is in the mind.
But you took power away from certain people to give that power to the class that had been oppressed. You took the power to oppress away and the ability to do that. You had to take that away in those privileges and protections to be able to put glass ceilings in place, to be able to have literacy tests. You took that power away, so you had to even it out a bit to give more voting power. The Voting Rights Act was a way of taking away the power to take the vote away and restrict it from one class and give it to another.
Well, here again, this is a very interesting point you brought up, and this is what I was going to next. It's most often given. You don't take it away from the people in power. It's normally given.
You got to force them to give it away.
Not always.
Usually.
I'm going to go back now to the women's movement. Most women did not want the right to vote when they got the right to vote. It was a limited group of the women's suffrage. Most of them did not want the vote. I'm not saying all. Most. It was then given to by the men in power. At the time, only men could vote. They then gave the right to vote to all women. So, again, it was given.
Yeah, but they had found a lever. The women who wanted the right to vote found a lever to use to get the men to give the right to vote to women.
I'm not saying there wasn't a lever, but I'm just saying that it was given, and it's normally that way.
I'll try to bring it back here, because yes. I think I can find the middle ground that Mark was looking for. If you're a woman, and a car is broken down, and you're talking to me, who knows nothing about cars, and I walk up and say, get out of the way, let me take a look at it, and I look under the hood for a minute and say, oh, there's nothing we can do, I don't know what's wrong with it. I know just as much as you do. At that point, you can say, why should you look under the hood? Because you're a man? Well, no, you're right. I know just as much as you. If you think you can fix it, fix it. But if you happen to walk up to a certified auto mechanic and push him out of the way and say, I don't need a man to tell me how to fix my car. Okay, no, but maybe you need a certified auto mechanic to tell you how to fix your car. Then you're just being ignorant for ignorance sake because you just don't want to admit that you might need help in this situation and the person who has the skill to provide you the help happens to be a different gender. And that's some cases where feminism gets to a militant point that makes no sense and it turns everybody off of it. There is a middle ground to that.
Yes, yes.
Where you're just thinking logically about the situation. But when you're in a movement and that movement defines your life, sometimes it will corrupt you and take you over the top. But I do think we need to get back to the movie now.
So what's the next part of Chopping Mall that you guys really liked?
I might edit out a whole lot of that.
We'll see.
So sickies, depending on how much Scott edits out, there was a very long conversation.
I think it was a good conversation.
It was. It's very much in the vein of science fiction and what
it back
thinking.
To Chopping
I must
Mall.
Have hit a real irrational point because at one point Rage Master just threw his hands up while I was talking and said, nope.
I think it was both
Rage
of us.
Rage Master just shouldn't have brought up that topic to begin with. He's...
Well, okay, I will...
He just... No, we're done.
It's possible that
we're done talking about these issues. Okay?
I'm going to bring something else up that's not an issue.
Let's
it's
go.
Over. It's okay. My issue does not like...
Okay.
Rage Master knows he shouldn't be talking about these things. So.
My thought was that this movie also had a big issue with guns. For one thing, a gun shop in the mall, unlocked.
Uh-huh.
Really great idea, though. I mean, it's the 80s, but even then, no.
Yeah.
Also, if you know anything about guns, you know the gun shop doesn't actually keep the firing pins in the guns that are on the display.
Really? That
yeah.
one I did not know.
Yeah, the firing pins are not in those guns.
Well, that would have gotten in the way of the story, so
yes.
That was just a very...
You'll hear a click, you'll hear all that stuff, but the firing pins are not in there.
Okay, well...
The ones on most gun displays. If you go into an actual gun shop, then yes, but that's a slight difference.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but so no, you're not going to walk. No, normally the firing pins are in back and they put them in when they give you the gun.
You know what I like about guns in the 80s, in 80s movies?
They
sound the same and they have that giant kapow.
Also, they never run out of ammo.
Well, there's that too.
I'm telling you, that shotgun that only can hold 8 maximum.
8 rounds. He must have fired that 25 times at least.
Oh, the one that had the fully automatic rifle? I mean, he didn't
never reloaded.
Yeah, he got the M16, not the AR. He got the M16 from Vietnam.
It was
full
the
auto.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that too. I'm like, wow, M16s are in the mall now.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget the,
okay.
the revolver. The revolver that has, you know, depending on your revolver, you can get 6, 7, maybe 8. That thing got way more than 8 in there.
Oh, yeah. No, this was totally Arnold Schwarzenegger commando style shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Why? We don't need to reload. And if we do need to reload, yeah. we just drop the gun and take another.
And again, this again, they're like, can you handle guns? Yeah, I watched. What movie was it? Terminator or something? It was like, yeah, I watched a movie.
That's not.
Oh, no, yeah. With the, can you shoot that? Yeah, I watched Dirty Harry. Yeah, oh, well, now you're an expert.
Oh, sure. You know how to handle a gun now.
Oh, what? Holy crap. No wonder why so many people are good at guns now. We have first person shooters. Come on.
I've played Call of Duty a lot.
Yeah. Oh, well, you could. Totally. You're a regular Navy SEAL now, aren't you?
You ready to come in and play quarterback this week for the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, I play Madden. I buy Madden every year, which is exactly why you shouldn't be a quarterback.
Yeah, it's
you
like.
You buy the same game every year. Congratulations.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Where you're like, wow, these guys, again, obvious because they're swinging these guns around like they don't know. It's like. Muzzle control, please stop pointing guns at each other's faces.
I got an idea. There's a killer robot running around the mall. Let's go shoot it with guns.
Yeah, it's bulletproof.
Robot.
It's bulletproof, too.
Why are you still running around with this gun when you've clearly watched... Yes. You got your revolver. You clearly watched that M16 do nothing to this.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. You have a, you know, a semi... armor piercing round, I mean, it will go through quite a bit versus a, again, that looked like not too big. Magnum at best.
It's like shooting a bear with a 22 pistol. You're just getting angry.
Yeah. Oh, do not want to do that.
Well, and then
might as you well have a rock.
Yeah.
And then you have the fact that the laser, it can, well, it has varying degrees of success. It can hit a girl in the butt and it doesn't do anything, but then the next one blows off her head.
It can also shred through doors, but then not.
But it takes a long time to do it.
It can also blow through an entire furniture store like it's paper.
Until it's shooting at the
door.
People.
Right. And don't forget, oh, I forgot the one equipment that these things do have. Explosives.
Oh, yeah, they have C4.
They just throw C4 onto a door.
C4 just coming out of their hands. And at some point, you got to be thinking, C4? Why do these things have it? They're mall security.
Yeah, dude, somehow I'm telling you.
Never know when Hans Gruber would show up.
This company was not selling mall security. They were selling military-grade equipment the military, and the military didn't buy it, and they went, oh, crap, we got to sell this
also,
somewhere.
What's in malls. This mall that you need to secure it with what is that called?
DEFCON 3?
No, yeah. No, with the doors Blast doors from Cheyenne. With Cheyenne Valley blast doors that could withstand nuclear attack and killer robots that could blow up a tank.
It's not quite, I will say it's not quite Cheyenne Mountain levels, but it's definitely blast doors.
It's the concept. Yeah. And it's like, what kind of shopping mall are they holding a national secret?
Well, apparently they have a gun shop just sitting in the middle, so who knows what they have in there.
I also love the beginning where he goes, the system is foolproof.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
What if you forget your badge?
Well, yeah,
exactly.
It's foolproof until you forget your badge.
Well, again, apparently this was only supposed to detain and not murder.
Why does it have C4?
I know.
Why can't shoot lasers from its eyes?
Well, also, let's be honest, you also have...
Heading right for us.
Yeah. The beginning of this whole thing was also a whole display where they're giving this. You got people just talking off to the side like, hey, I wonder what this is. And it's like, what? What intro is this?
Where this sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly good thing to put our first model untested robot out in the store with C4 it can shoot from its hands and lasers
that can cut through that can cut through metal
in its
blades
defense, though,
everything.
It can cut through metal, but not mannequins. Mannequins make perfect, perfect cover.
Also, apparently the lasers are really reflective off of mirrors.
Yeah,
because
which when fired back at the shooter cause massive overload.
Oh, also. These things would have lasted one day anyway, because the next morning they would have shot up all the mannequins in the store.
Show me your ID.
Thank you. Have a good day. Which reminds me, Allison finishes with a great 80s buzz line of after she blows up the final one, or wait, right before she blows it up, have a good day. And then she pulls out her Chekhov's gun road flare, which, by the way, she hit a road flare. You didn't feel the need to tell anybody else. Why is this secret? Just go, hey, guys, road flare if you want one. Nope, she's got to hide that ace card.
Well, also, I think that's what they used on the propane tanks, but
they inadvertently let you know that if you simply play dead, it will leave you alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't have thermal imaging, apparently.
It's like being the one attacked thing it by a bear. Yeah. Play dead.
Also, apparently, if you just hang off the edge, you're fine.
Yeah. Also, she died.
Oh, she is so dead.
She should have been dead after that.
She fell, what, like three at least?
She's at least concussed in saying her name is Potato for the next 2 months.
Yeah. Oh, but she fell onto the spike of the again the way you get I'm just saying the way you get most of the time you get a spike out of one of your tents is by a pole. She fell right onto a pole. She should be dead.
That was a bounce house.
Remember
oh,
when
please the, just a bounce house, no way.
Remember when the guy, her boyfriend, was shooting at it and it didn't work, so he threw the gun because that'll work. And then he throws the propane tank, so it throws it back at him. It hits him in the torso, and he falls to the ground, and his head's bleeding? What?
Again, this...
What?
He hit his head when he hit the ground.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
But, like, that bad?
Well, again...
There's a giant pool of blood.
Yeah. Well, again, these robots have this weird fascination with sometimes the lasers will blow a person's head apart, and sometimes will just mildly hurt them so that it's like... You're dead, but you kind of just fall over going,
these are the worst security robots ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Lightning did. It's all the lightning. It's the evil lightning. So
I see the problem here. Somebody flipped the switch on this doll to evil.
Yeah.
Hey, did anyone check anyone plug in the shock strip or whatever? No.
It was Bart's Camp Krusty doll, right?
Yep. No, that was his, it was a Krusty doll, but it wasn't doll. Camp Krusty. Yep. It was an evil Krusty doll.
There you go.
So, bottom line, Sickies, as we wrap up Horror Month, Chopping Mall is a good romp. The only thing I would warn you about is there's nudity. So, just be aware of that. And the rest of it is just...
Peak 80s.
Wow, I mean, if you want to see peak 80s, the slasher, this is it. You can't get much better than that. And no. Just from our few cheers and jeers, let's rate this thing, because we also want to talk about one other thing. So let's rate this thing.
I'll give it a 5. It gets bonuses for being peak 80s, and it gets counteracting subtractions for being absolutely horrible and cheesy, and then bonuses for being horrible and cheesy. So it's an average horrible cheesy slasher comedy.
All right.
I'm going to also give it a 5 for the same exact reasons. It's peak 80s and it's cheesy. It's cheesy. And boy, is it cheesy. Which means Mark will give it a 20.
No, actually. Mark's giving it a 9 out of 10 because his Christian sensibilities suggest that the nudity knocked it down a point. But the 9 because, well, I mean, what's not to like? This thing keeps you going the whole time. Your favorite, most satisfying scene is when Lockjaw Jockington gets slashed. That's my favorite scene right there. The
starring so-and-so as the douche.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. That's how he's...
He's chewing gums and walking around muscle. Yep.
Yep, that's what he is.
I played douche number one in Chopping Mall. Not to be confused with douche number 2.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So
I'm the first one to die.
I'm head douche.
If you've seen a Jason movie, you've seen Chopping Mall, except the box art is better, and I recommend seeing this nonetheless. So as a final send-off to Horror Month, check out Chopping Mall. And before we close out today, though, in keeping up with modern trends, even though I will tell you Star Wars is not science fiction, we are going to talk about the Star Wars Episode 9 trailer. And Rage Master has his own final points. But rather than do a play-by-play, because everyone else on YouTube's done it, I thought we'd just give our impressions.
Okay, here's my impression. What the bleep did I watch?
Okay.
It made no sense. Why are they on horses? I don't care.
In the Death Star Star Destroyer.
By the way, I heard someone say this, and I thought, oh, no. Remember the horse-like animals from Canto Bite in Episode 8?
Liberated? No.
And then you have the kids. Oh. As soon as I heard that, I just thought, no, please don't be that. Because if that's what that is, it's going to make it worse.
Well, here's the thing. I watched this trailer, and I will be completely honest. All the trailers, all the teasers, I have not cared at all. Like, the one when Palpatine laughs at the end. That, I even didn't care. Like, I was like, oh, Palpatine, interesting. I still don't care. This did nothing. This is supposed to be the final one. This is supposed to get you going. I watched it and went, oh, Star Wars, last one. Okay. I'm going to watch it, obviously, because we're going to review it.
And we want to see this, how it wraps up, sure.
But I didn't care at all.
This is what happens when you kill off the characters that everybody cares about. Star Wars, the original trilogy, worked because you had Vader, and you had Luke, and you had Han, and you had Leia. That's what made it work. Everyone else was in some way, shape, or form a supporting character, including the Emperor, including Obi-Wan, including Yoda, including the Millennium Falcon. Those characters made it work. They are all dead. They are all dead.
Chewie's still around, and so is Lando.
Sidekicks.
Sidekick.
That's, yeah.
You are now trying to finish off a 9-part film series where every single character that you cared about is dead. Is dead. That is like what I said about George R.R. Martin writing Game of Thrones, that if this all came down to some new character named Griff Coddington in the 6th book in the last 200 pages, I was going to find George and throw him off a cliff. And this is what you don't do. It's like what happened in Dune, where I read 22 books to have it all be about Duncan Idaho.
Aha. Uh-huh.
None of the Atreides family. Well, Atreides. Leto's turning into a sandworm for 300 years. Atreides. Duncan, Idaho. What? This is what you don't do. You don't show me 8 movies. 8 freaking movies. To have the end be about the new characters who jumped on the scene in the last couple of films. There's only one thing that I care about in this film, and it is the only reason that I'll actually watch this film. Palpatine is back. If there was no Palpatine, I'm telling you I would not go see this film in the theater, because there's not one thing left in this movie that I give a flying bleep about. It's horrible. Disney, you have killed the golden goose. People can tell me that this is because I don't like the direction Disney went. I'm fine with films that are about social agendas or social movements and that talk about the nature of humanity and the changing nature of society and how we treat people within it. I love those films. I'm a Trekkie.
Well, yeah, but
There's not a character left that I care about in this story. None of it makes sense. The entirety of the rebellion was inside the Millennium Falcon at the end of the last episode, and you expect me to believe they're going to take down the First Order in the conclusion.
Well, I'm going to agree with you for the simple fact of look at toy sales. They're done. Star Wars is dying.
You might as well bring Jar Jar Binks back and make him the focus of all of it.
Ooh.
He's the true manipulator of Palpatine, and he's not dead either.
Well, they have been spending a good amount of time trying to tell everybody that this is cohesive. It's going to bring all the story together. Because the complaint of the fandom and people like me is that 7 and 8 basically said, well, we know you had a redemption arc and that you wrapped everything up nicely, but you were wrong. We're going to end the Republic it's going to go out with a whimper, and we're going to make a resistance without explaining why they exist, unless you go and read the outside canon book Bloodlines. And this First Order is going to show up. We're not going to explain it unless you read that outside book Bloodlines. And the resistance, which should have been dead after episode 8, we're going to explain how they showed up in the upcoming book, Birth of Resistance. But again, you have to go read the book for that to make sense, and it's still unsatisfying. So basically, you changed everything, said the past is not as important, and now you're trying to say, oh, wait, come back. No, we got it. So here's my thought. This, and because it's JJ, here's why the stress of how cohesive this is and how this makes sense, and this is where the story's been leading the whole time. How could you say that, JJ? It hasn't been leading in this direction the whole time. It wrapped up in a neat little package at the end of part 6. You can't tell me this is the direction it was going. You're just making it up now. But more interestingly, this reminds me about Abrams Trek. Abrams Star Trek came out and was dead wrong. The only thing it got right was the Kobayashi Maru. That was the part where every Trekkie looked at it and went, yeah, okay, I could see it going down that way. That's pretty good. Other than that, it sucked. One of the biggest complaints was Kirk became a captain overnight. So in Into Darkness, they addressed that. Kirk got busted down because he violated the Prime Directive. Remember the Prime Directive? We brought that back for you, Trekkies. Kirk got busted down to be promoted back up 5 minutes later. Oh, remember Khan? You liked Khan so much. We're going to bring Khan back. Remember Klingons? We're going to bring Klingons back. Remember all that stuff you liked? We're going to bring that back. That way you like us again. And the nostalgia craze worked. Temporarily. Scott, you said he nailed it. You have since backtracked because you kind of looked at it again and went, wait a minute.
About 3 days after I walked out of the theater.
You went, wait a minute. This is terrible. And that's what I think episode 9 is going to be. It's going to have a lot of nostalgia stuff of, hey, look, there's Lando. Oh, look, Vader's helmet. Palpatine's back. Luke's Force ghost are the Force people you like. To say, I care. But, and it's going to have a stunning battle. Visually, this trilogy has never had a problem looking like Star Wars. From a Star Wars perspective, from a Star Wars fan, it has all looked stunning and like Star Wars. But that was never the problem. But nor was it going to save these movies either. It never. The final battle, well, for the most part anyway, looks like it's going to be stunning. From the little bits I saw.
You're
except
hoping.
For that part about a bunch of horses riding on a Star Destroyer.
Here was my problem space. with the whole.
Hang on. Before I lose derail, because I will. So the whole point is, it's going to be a lot of remember these guys come back, and it's going to wrap up in so much as that Palpatine shows back, but briefly and long as he waited, and blah blah blah. And Snoke was a nobody. Don't worry about him. And Kylo's going to die. Everybody knows that. And Rey's going to beat him because she's been beating him ever since they looked at each other. And the Jedi are going to help her because that's what happens. And there's going to be a big giant space battle because that's what we need. And they're going to have their little own Odyssey adventure where they go back to all the old places to make us go, ooh, look. And that's it. It's going to be like Into Darkness.
It's going to be a nostalgia trip, but the problem with the trilogy to me is never the direction that it went, the details within the trilogy. It's you never gave us all these characters back on the same stage at the same time like you were supposed to. You give me Han and Leia who have split up and their marriage has failed.
They're losers.
Yes, they both turned into losers.
And Luke's a loser.
Luke has retreated from the scene, but you never give me one last hurrah with Han, Leia, Luke, Chewie.
They're just all losers.
And Lando all doing something again. But no, real problem is you never put them all in the same movie.
No,
the movie you give
losers.
Me Luke, I've got no Han. The movie you give me Han, I've got no Luke. And now I've got none of them. You give me Lando back and Palpatine when they're all gone. You never put everyone that we cared about back for one more hurrah. If you'd have given me the old guard back in the movie, mentoring the young guard, and then in this movie transitioned it off to them, that would have worked.
That could have worked.
You could have given me time to come to like these characters. You could have transitioned the big bad of Palpatine to Kylo. Then you could have set something else up, but you didn't. So
as we've been saying throughout our entire reviews of these Star Wars, we have not seen the handing off of the baton.
No.
They're just throwing like the baton. It wasn't a handoff. It was just chucking the baton at them and going hitting them in the head with it.
And the hero's journey doesn't exist. I said this about episode 7, and I am vindicated because there is no hero's journey, which is vital for Star Wars. So bottom line is, I would say it's going to look visually stunning, and there's going to be some good battles, I think. Look at the Y-Wings. Remember in episode 8? The bombers, everybody pointed out how dumb the bombers are. So they went, here, we'll bring the Y-Wings back.
Yeah, again, exactly. Nostalgia trip.
Too little, too late, guys. Too little, too late. You should have thought about that ahead of time. So basically, you sandbagged everything, and now you're trying to bring it all back and shove it out there to say, look, 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 we love Star Wars. Except you're also trying to wrap up a story that, honestly, we don't care about. So the apathy is great with this one. We'll see it. We're going to review it, sickies. But honestly, Chopping Mall is a better movie. I know I haven't seen episode 9, but I guarantee you Chopping Mall was a better movie. I would rather watch Chopping Mall than episode 9. And I have.
Ouch.
I would rather watch Star Crash than episode 8.
Wow. I
would rather watch a Jane Austen movie than episode 8. Okay.
The Star Wars fan in this room has just disowned Star Wars.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, it's Disney. And it's pretty sad, too, that next month The Mandalorian's coming out. And myself and many other Star Wars fans have looked at that and said, oh, yeah, that's going to be awesome. And we're more excited about a TV show than your big climactic ending. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. If they tank Mandalorian and Clone Wars Season 7, it's over.
Fair enough.
So, but that's it for Horror Month.
How can they get in touch with
us? Email us at contact@ravinglunaticmedia.com. Tweet at us on Twitter @SciFiMalady. Or leave us comments on our website @ravinglunaticmedia.com. Leave us a 5-star review, or we'll send our killer robots after you. Rage Master, what's left for them to do?
Stay sick, sickies.